Page 1051, if you've got Bibles and want to follow along. Jesus is with his disciples and he's teaching them about the coming kingdom of God. He told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because of this widow keeps bothering me, I will see she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? A couple of months ago, our car was in a scrape with another car. And as a result, the wheel and tire were damaged, making the car undrivable. We took, we had it taken to the garage, and I paid for the repair, about £150. I'm phoning the insurance company, and they said, oh, we'll pay for that. Send us the invoice. No problems. We'll reimburse you. And so began a saga. I duly sent the invoice in and heard nothing and emailed a couple of weeks later and had an acknowledgement and emailed subsequently and a subsequent, you know, and it goes on. And I phoned them and said it will be processed. And yet I've heard nothing. Again and again, I've asked, how much longer am I going to have to wait? Someone was telling me earlier today that they have had a similar experience with British Gas. Well, many of us, I'm sure, could tell stories along a similar vein, where we've asked again and again for something and not get a reply. And we've become disheartened. And we think, what's the point of asking? I'm going to give up. But sometimes, in the end, after repeatedly asking, we do get what we want, which is what happens to the widow in the story that Jesus told. She didn't give up. She kept asking and in the end got her reward. And Jesus tells this story to teach his disciples they should always pray and not give up. So if you're wondering what the profound message is today, it is this. Always pray, don't give up. Jesus tells his disciples before he tells them the story that that is the point of the story. So it's not clever. It's very simple. We've probably, if you've been around Christian circles for a while, all heard sermons on prayer. You've probably all heard sermons that you should pray regularly. Well, here comes another one along the same vein because, well, it'll become evident why he says this. Why is this important? Why do we need to know this? Jesus often spoke during his life of what was going to happen to him in his death and his resurrection, and then one day his return at the end of time. But how long a gap would there be between his ascension into heaven and his return? And that's the context of this teaching of Jesus. He is teaching them to persevere in speaking to their heavenly Father. Always pray. Don't give up. But before we look at the parable, let's just think back over the last four weeks and pick out four things we've seen about prayer. The who, what, how, and why. And on the back of the sheet is a little outline that will help you. This is just to remind us what we've covered. And it may be that you've had a week or two out on holidays. Who, when we pray as followers of Jesus, we're praying to our heavenly Father, who is the sovereign Lord, the God of the universe. We have access to Jesus. He is the door that opens the way to this heavenly Father who gives us good things as his children. He's utterly trustworthy. He is perfect in all his ways and wants the best for us. Would you not want to approach such a father as this. Well, what are we to ask of him then? Well, the Lord's Prayer is in many ways a model prayer. It tells us what to ask for. We thought about these three P's. Provision. Give us today our daily bread. He gives us what we need. His peace. Forgive us our sins. He grants us peace through the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus Christ. And for protection, deliver us from evil. He will protect us. He's overcome and defeated evil at the cross. And then how are we to ask? Well, we are to approach him humbly. We're to approach him in his name, according to his will. We were thinking about that the other day. And we can do so wherever, whenever, and with whatever our request is. And then finally, last week, we were thinking, well, why pray? Why bother to pray? Because he promises to hear us. To hear us and respond to us. Sometimes we won't get the answer we want, we'll get a no. Sometimes we may get a maybe, other times we'll get a yes. But he promises to hear us, and he will use our prayers to fulfill his plans and purposes. But I want to ask a more fundamental question, that is, do you pray? I don't want to assume we all do. If we're not trusting in Jesus, then I wouldn't have any expectation that we would pray to this God, the Heavenly Father that we know through Jesus. Why would you speak to a God you don't believe in? But if you're trusting in Jesus, it should be a natural response to speak to God. For Christianity is all about a relationship with God, being known by him and knowing him as our loving Heavenly Father. And prayer is the expression of this relationship. As we hear from God through his living word, so we have the privilege of speaking to him. But do you pray? Let's be honest, so often we don't. We pray in church. Maybe when we're in a desperate corner, we're late for a meeting. Oh, Lord, get me to that meeting on time. Or maybe you say grace occasionally before a meal. But we find Sunday rolls round and we think, you know what? I haven't prayed since last week. How do I know? Because it is so easy to do. And we wonder then why our faith is weak, why our hope is faint, why our passion and confidence in Jesus is so feeble. I don't say this to make us feel guilty, but to bring some reality and some honesty. We all know we should pray, but the reality is we often don't. And this comes as a reminder that we can turn to God, whatever a mess we're in, whatever we've been up to, we can come to him with confidence. And what Jesus teaches here is to spur his disciples on to always pray and not give up. Have a look then at the parable with me. Verse 2, we meet this judge who is described to us as someone who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. Not the greatest judge to come before, you would think. A judge is someone who is meant to be fair and just, hold out justice, but we're told this judge couldn't care less. He didn't care about people, the very thing he should be doing. Neither did he care about God, who one day he would answer to as the God of all people, as the judge of all people. Well, to this judge comes a widow with a fair request. Grant me justice against my adversary. It's the business of judges to hear such cases. So here's the widow before him, God above him, and he refuses. But she still keeps coming again and again and again. She was persistent and would not take no for an answer. I remember when our children were very small, and well, not so small, actually. We'd go on holiday in the summer, and they'd ask for an ice cream again and again and again. Even if they'd had an ice cream, they'd have another go. And they would often get one out of me because I got so fed up with them asking again and again, don't bother me anymore. Here's an ice cream. It's what the judge says finally, isn't it? I just want to get this woman out of my hair. Totally impure motives, we read of the judge. He does it out of self-interest. And Jesus comments, listen to what the unjust judge says. What is it that he says? Verse 5, I will see that she gets justice. Now, his argument goes like this. If the unjust judge sees that she will get justice, how much more will the just and perfect judge of all the world, who shows no partiality, who cares for people, God himself, he will bring justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off like the unjust judge? Well, the answer that you're expecting is no, he won't. He knows all the secrets of our hearts. He knows the injustices that we suffer and all the trials and troubles we face. He won't put us off. So cry to him, keep praying, and don't give up like the widow. Look with me, though, how Jesus finishes in verse 8. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Does that strike you as a strange question? He's just been teaching on prayer. Surely he would say, when the Son of Man comes, will he not find you praying? Why this question about faith? Well, there's a close connection between faith and prayer. Calvin, the great 16th century reformer, explains it simply. Prayer is the chief exercise of faith. Prayer is the chief exercise of faith. In other words, prayer is the primary way faith expresses itself. Which means if we are not praying, we are not expressing our faith. It's actually practical atheism that a lot of us are practicing when we're not praying. So what will help us to pray? Well, I've jotted down 6 words here. I don't know if they're, well, I hope they're helpful, but what will help us to pray? Because most of us aren't doing as well as we should. Exercise, firstly, exercise our faith by praying, as we've just been saying. What's the exercise regime? Well, it's very simple. It is talking. It is talking to God. Carol and I were with some friends on Thursday, and they said of themselves, we're not very good at communicating with one another. We don't give time to talking to one another and listening to each other. If I never said anything to Carolyn, how would she know what was going on up here? What would it say about our relationship? You would say you need to talk to one another. It's basic, isn't it? So it is with God. Start talking to God. As we were thinking earlier, wherever, whenever, whatever, anytime, anywhere, anything. First thing in the morning, as we drive to work, as we change a nappy. Secondly, time. If you do not make a time to pray, you won't. So many good things keep us from praying. The washing up looks super attractive when I think I'm going to pray. Or WhatsApp to my children, or emails, or texts. It's not bad or evil things that keep me from praying. It's often good things. Some couples have date nights. You may be one of those. The same day on a regular basis, devoted to their spouse, to talk uninterruptedly and deliberately because they care about their relationship. They want to nurture it. So pick a time and turn up with God. Don't leave it to chance. Third word, train. The athletes we're seeing at the Olympics have gone through some training, discipline setting of time, side of time to exercise. Adam Peaty, I read, the swimmer was saying he spent 8 to 10 hours a day training for the Olympics. It didn't start like that. He didn't just think, right, I'm going to start this regime. It would have started with, I don't know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour. It built up. It takes time. So often I think we think we'll tackle a mountain. We'll start praying. We'll set aside half an hour, 40 minutes. If we're going to be hardcore, that's what we need to do. And we do that for a day, and then we think this isn't achievable, and we don't return to it. It takes time. Fourthly, speak. Combine your praying with Bible reading. God speaks to us through his word. We speak to him as we pray. So turn what we read in his word into prayer. Read and pray. Read and pray. You've got a handout with a number of prayers. That's not original to me. That's taken from a little book. As a way to start, it's a great place to start. You could read them out loud, some of those prayers. Bit by bit, we'll begin to pray. You could do that round the table if you're married and got children. If you're on your own, you can read it out loud. Just make sure your neighbor's not listening through the wall and think you've gone mad because you're starting to speak out loud. But you know what I mean. Speak. Exercise time, train, speak, share. Share with brothers and sisters in Christ that you want to exercise your faith by praying. And then ask them to ask you how you're going. And if you say next Sunday, you know what, I haven't prayed, say, well, I can pray that this next week might be a bit better. And then I'll ask you next week, and so on. We're in a family. God has put us in a family to help one another. Growth groups, small groups, midweek groups are a great way of encouraging one another to pray together, as are our monthly prayer evenings. So why wouldn't you come if you want to exercise your faith in the company of others? I find I get on much better at the gym when I go to a class with others than I do going on my own. They spur me on in a way that I wouldn't do on my own. And then finally, start. So someone says to you, what have you been looking at in church recently? That would probably be a Christian friend who would ask you that question. And you say, oh, we've done another series on prayer. Well, don't let this be, I just feel guilty and a rubbish Christian because I don't pray. Let this be a moment where maybe for the first time, we say to ourselves, I'm going to make a start. I'm not going to procrastinate or delay any longer. Let this be a moment when maybe we're growing weary, wondering whether it's worth keeping on praying. We say, actually, I'm going to persevere, like the widow, take God at his word, knowing that if I ask him according to his word, he hears me. And where could we start? With the Lord's Prayer, which David's going to lead us in a minute after he's prayed. But let me just pray now with the opening half of the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Amen.